We thank the staff, and we are going to agenda item 30, I believe.
31.
31. SMEs that are subsidiaries. The SME team. Elizabeth?
Yes. Thank you, Hannes. Good afternoon. This is a research project, and it was added to the research pipeline following comments received on the last agenda consultation. Now, the project objective that was specifically added to the pipeline is set out in paragraph 3 of the board paper. So that's to assess whether it would be feasible to permit SMEs that are subsidiaries to apply the recognition and measurement requirements from IFRS standards, but with the disclosure from the IFRS for SME standard. When we say SMEs that are subsidiaries, at this point what we're talking about is a SME, we're defining it as an entity that would be eligible to apply this anyway. But it, from a cost perspective, doesn't want to apply this because it's got to report to a parent using in a consolidation pack using full recognition and measurement. But that means any subsidiary that's publicly accountable, such as got listed debt, wouldn't be within the scope of this project. Now, if the research establishes that this approach is feasible, then we will bring to the board and ask you if you want to progress to move to standard setting, and if we do at that point, we will give you an opportunity to see whether or not you did want to change the scope of the project. If we do move to standard setting, the intention at the moment is that we would issue a standard that would be part of IFRS standards. We're not looking to actually alter the IFRS for SMEs standard. So our immediate next step is to actually seek input from IFAS, from the Global Preparers Forum, their meetings later this month, and from the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, their meeting next month.
Anne?
Elizabeth. So I understand what the Australians have done, is prepare some sort of comparison where they have a look at what the disclosure requirements are in here, and work out how well they reflect the recognition and measurement requirements of full IFRS. And I understand that they're quite a way into making that comparison, and I understand that they're very enthusiastic about their ability to create a standard that will have all of these disclosures in there and then allow somebody, so in their case it's private, it's for-profit entities that don't have public accountability, and they will be able to apply full IFRS recognition and measurement, but disclosures from here. So I understand that they are quite confident, the Australian standard setters are quite confident that they're going to produce this new disclosure standard for that particular group. So I'm just wondering to what extent that work will be able to assist you in your evaluation, because you're talking about wanting to evaluate how well these disclosure requirements will fit with full IFRS recognition and measurement.
Indeed, their timing is a little bit ahead of ours, so that, as you say, they've already started work. They took to their February board meeting what they've done so far. So at that point, the analysis was not complete. So they'd started, and what they've done, they tried to look at measurement differences between IFRS standards and the SME standard, and then look at the disclosures. So we, as staff, we're monitoring that, we're in touch with them, and that will obviously be valuable input to us. But at the same time, I've actually started doing a little bit of analysis of my own, because I think it's quite important to try and then compare notes and just check, because it would be greater validation if we both come up with the same answer. But yes, that we are monitoring that.
Nick?
Thank you. I mean, overall, I'm very sympathetic with the direction where this could be going. I think it's quite exciting. I think it's very worthwhile very early on talking to preparers to see that there's sufficient appetite, because if there isn't, we can then draw a line under it there. But nowhere in the research plan is any mention of users. I know they're not the users that I'm most to favour with, but there clearly must be users of these statements. And I just wonder how that fits into your plans.
So the first round of analysis we're doing is to see whether the national standard set is, if we issued something, would think about using it. And then the second round was more about whether, and in there, whether preparers would be willing to use it. It's only after that we were thinking of where we'd got more of an idea about what the disclosures would look like, mm-hmm. that we would kind of reach out to investors. So we didn't include CMAQ on this first initial round, but we think we would do it next. Not that we were ignoring users, but we wanted to make sure if people were willing to accept the idea of the standard before we started doing an analysis.
But I'm not sure CMAQ is necessarily the right group of users.
No.
These are largely not publicly accountable entities, and it's just thinking about, it may, perhaps in the credit world, it may touch upon that, yeah. but often they're looking at the highest entity in a structure.
Yeah.
But it's thinking about, and I think it's worthwhile thinking about who the users are, yeah. because it then influences, you know, what we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah.
And we certainly can and will look at users, but I think a point to make is when the SME standard was developed, explicitly to look at the disclosures for that, quite a bit of work was done on what the users of the standard at that point, I understand needed. And so that's one of the reasons of thinking of using this as the starting point, if that's already been done. But yes, we can then follow.
Yeah. Can I just comment on the next question? Because the original logic of this proposal was that the board has already thought about users' needs in developing the disclosure requirements for the SME standard. And if we were really lucky, those disclosures would fit with the full recognition and measurement as well. We wouldn't need to do anything else, and we wouldn't need to go back into the disclosures and rethink them in any way. Now, we know that's probably not going to work. We probably need to tailor the disclosures in some way to make sure they will live with the recognition and measurement disclosures. So clearly we'll need to get user input at that stage on the changes we make at that point. But I think it's quite important not to sort of reopen the existing base of the SME disclosures, which would be the starting point for this. That, I think that's probably the logic for the timing.
Yeah.
Martin.
When I thought about this push, man, isn't that from the starting already a no-brainer? Because man, what people then recommend is, for example, that in subsidiary, which, for example, is a bank, they can use IFRS 9 now as a new impairment model with expected loss, but using a disclosure which was developed for maybe IAS 39 and then brought into the SME standard. Right. Isn't that we should discuss then and say, and I would especially say no way. Or another example is insurance, that insurance subsidiary.
Neither insurance nor banking qualifies to use SME, so they disqualified even before.
Okay, yeah. So that is out.
Yes. Because they are publicly accountable entities.
Okay, then I will silent, because when I put this kind of example where we have developed a special recognition and measurement for Z and K is not fitting to the disclosure.
Okay.
To Nick's point, I think your consultation with IFAS will be very useful to work out who are the potential entities that might pick this up, and it's the national regulators that can be informative on that, because they should have an idea, in the sense that the Australian standard setters have an idea who is in that band that will be making use of this new arrangement. So national standard setters should have an idea. Have they got entities that are filing and are reporting that could make use? So I think that they're a good place to start. Because it really is up to national regulators to say that they would or never make use of this kind of hybrid arrangement. And to Martin's point, I know it's been answered that insurance and banks are out of this. The model that the Australians are using does involve actually looking and would modify some disclosures if the existing disclosures in here don't match with what's in full IFRS. For some reason, changes would be made. It's not just a blanket adoption of what's in here.
And indeed, that's what we ourselves are looking at. That's why I've started doing some analysis to actually see to what extent I think the disclosures in here, how it compares.
Daryl?
So I guess a couple of things. Firstly, I think it's worth, and I think Peter said this to a certain extent, we are at only the feasibility stage. And the way I might have answered Nick's question is I think all we're trying to figure out is whether it's even doable. If it's doable, I think at that point we can start bringing others into the game to assess whether or not they want it, because I think that becomes more important. But my understanding of what you're suggesting at this point is simply this feasibility. Can we, to Peter's point, carry it straight over? Or if we can't, can we do it with a relative amount of ease without making too many changes? Or if we have to make too many changes, I think we've already moved beyond what the mandate is. And I think it's the other thing that's important is just to remember the context. And again, it comes from something that Peter said, is that this started out by the board saying, we want to see if we can help by doing as little as possible. Essentially. So the idea is to try and use the two things we've got, see if we can match them together. If we can't, it's clearly a bigger project, and I think that's where the Australians have been and are sort of now going around on a second round of. But we didn't want, when we agreed to this in the agenda consultation, to have a big project. We wanted something very quick and simple that we could get done without too much effort. And I think that context is really important in terms of what we're trying to achieve here.
Tuck.
Thank you. I agree with the direction the staff is looking. But one concern is linking it to the current IFRS for SME may constrain the IFRS for SME because of the linkage. So it may deprive the free hand of change in IFRS for SME. That is my fear. So therefore, I agree using it as a starting point, but in the future date, if there is some need for change in IFRS for SME, it should not be constrained by this project. So we should not clearly make a linkage between IFRS for SME. It should be completely different disclosure for the different type of camp of companies.
I think that's the intent of our project.
Yeah.
Mary.
I had an initial reaction that was similar to Martin's without necessarily focused on a bank or insurance company as such. Daryl's reminder is good. If you look at paragraph 6A of the paper, it starts out by saying, I'm telling the staff what you've already told us, how much tailoring of the disclosure requirements would be necessary. I think Daryl's was the right reminder about what the first stage is. And so I'm guessing that what that means starts out by saying is, okay, for each chapter of the SME standard, how much tailoring have we done compared to the related IFRS standard? Because if we've done none, then presumably we've already made all the judgments Peter was talking about, which is, in the context of an SME, what disclosures are necessary. But if we've got the kind of shift that Martin illustrated with IS 39 to IFRS 9 and impairment is relevant, I would just as soon throw away, the SME disclosures as a starting point. I could understand saying that's the scale we're going for, but there's enough difference in concept and approach that I don't see why a presumption of the SME disclosures would be relevant. So I think you could do kind of a high-level assessment, just thinking about how closely aligned are the requirements in the SME chapter with the related IFRS standard. And I think if on the basis of that you think this is a viable project as a limited-scope project, again, to Daryl's point, the thing we might have to do we're then testing the market, do enough people want this to make it worth going forward, is as we start working through the project that's discussed in paragraph 30, in paper 30, updating the SME standard, that if we decide, for example, that now is the time to revise the financial instruments chapter of the SME standard, that would flip our assessment for the disclosures being able to be based on the SME standard. So, you know, we can run this in parallel, but I think the messages that I maybe didn't pick up on enough in this paper originally are, it's a test of the viability of this project to take the disclosure set from one thing and the recognition and measurement from another. And I think articulating that the critical first question is, how close is the SME chapter to the relevant standard as a first screening of whether you can kind of plug and play the two?
That's definitely, I mean, that's what the Australian Accounting Standards Board has done, and that's what I'm starting to do.
Well, first of all, I would like to very strongly support what Tak said about not putting burdens on the IFRS for SMEs beyond the purpose of the standard. But I have some uneasiness about this project in the way it would start, because I can understand that it has been started with the objective of just a feasibility study, and the result of which would be positive if we see that with a minimum effort, we were able to come to a first set of disclosures, largely borrowed from the IFRS for SMEs, because the two standards are not very far away yet. And we would be able, with reasonable effort, to refine the disclosures that we have in the full IFRS, where that full IFRS has not been yet reflected in the IFRS for SMEs. Let's say we do that. First of all, I think we would need we know that these instances exist. So we already know that it's not going to be enough to borrow from the IFRS for SMEs. So we will have to produce new sets of disclosures. There is no way you can achieve that. But we already know that. So I think it would be worthwhile to have as a step in this project something that this project, I think, cannot do, can't have a future without, to formulate a form of, I don't know how to call it, framework, guidance, or whatever you want to call it, so that we have a form of know-how moving from a set of disclosures in full IFRS for applicable for SMEs. And that takes into account different needs of users and different levels of sophistication also. So, and we the IFRS for SMEs project has not been closed. I mean, the approach has been implemented, but with not being formalized and leaving this to us for the maintenance. So I think whether it serves the future of the IFRS for SMEs or it helps get a first set of disclosure requirements for this project, I think we need to do that effort of getting our own guidance how we're going to move from one set of disclosures to another one that is suitable for non-publicly accountable entities. So I would like to see this as an item in the project and eventually ask some support from the Disclosure Initiative team, because a lot of what they've thought of in terms of guidance could help. And I also think that, you know, that there is no point in having this first level of feasibility if we can't maintain. So we really need to know how this would evolve, because it's not enough to reach a first set and decide, unless you know how you're going to have that evolve.
Gary.
I actually fully support the project, but then try to put a little bit of a dose of how I think this is going to play out. First of all, I completely agree the SME standard is just off to the side and it's untouched. Whether you take the SME disclosures, that becomes the initial platform for this new, you know, reporting regime. I think that's the end of touching the SME standard. Got to start someplace, writing the disclosures. But I think going forward, assuming this one goes forward, is the new disclosure changes will be driven off the full FIFRS, and then you scale that back, and that becomes another decision point in full FIFRS. Because we're trying the stable platform concept of the SME standard, I think it should be sacrosanct and off to the side. I think, Elizabeth, in really quick, I would go looking at 6B, outreach to the preparers. I think you go right to there first. Because if there's no appetite there or no serious appetite, there's no point in doing anything else. And I began thinking about it, and after our discussions the other day, is I think there's going to be interest, but I'm not so sure it'll be as absolutely strong as our initial thinking was. Because, first of all, the scope would be those who internally report upstream to an IFRS parent. Well, you might not report under IFS standards across the board internally. You might have an internal gap. You might have it on a different basis, and they make all the fancy adjustments at the headquarters group in case you are not reporting internally fully in accordance with IFS. Certainly a lot, you know, but not universally. So then what do you do? And they might. The other thing, if you do have a full IFRS reporting pack internally, you know, statements and footnotes, we might very well get the feedback, I don't know what other reporting regime, we already got IFRS. And to go to this new reporting regime, that's more work than I got today. I do think there'll be appeal to it, but I'm not as sure it'll be as universal appeal as we think, in which case the feedback will come back, well, is there enough, you know, market, you know, demand for this, or is it small enough that we don't proceed? I don't know. You know what we're going to find out, but I would go right to the preparers because there's no point in going anything further if there's no demand for it.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I agree with Gary's point. We need to clarify what the problem is here, the first thing, because this is a kind of a one project in the research pipeline. Maybe some people think this is very urgent, but some others do not think this is so important. So we need to find out what real problem is and its serious needs. Another, the second thing is who we are talking about. Yeah, now many people to be discussed something, some maybe non-public accountable entities or not, they must be some kind of subsidiary. So we need to define some kind of a nature of what preparers are being applied if we develop something. Another thing is that do we require these subsidiaries to apply full IFRS for their own statements now? I don't think.
Do we require to use?
Yeah, we don't have any authority to require some subsidiaries to apply IFRS, full IFRS for their own financial statements, then why they are asking us to permit such kind of a new package of the IFRS with a small reduced disclosure requirement?
That's part of why we're going to ask the national standard setters whether if there's a demand and then we think it's feasible, whether they would then actually consider
using that phrase.
Maybe not requiring, but permitting it in their jurisdiction.
So this issue might be one issue of whether this real problem is or not. So please review that kind of thing.
At the moment, our working assumption is that it's an entity that has to prepare single entity financial statements. And I know that's not true for all jurisdictions, but for some those where it is, and so then it's seeing whether the national standard setters would want it. So it's demand from both sides, really.
Okay,
Amaro.
Just very quick. I think that this is very, very last point. would somewhat be related to the scope on the next paper, because we might end up with finding out that if we do expand the scope of IFRS for SMEs, we might meet the actual demand in many jurisdictions for a specific distinct standard for this type of entities. Just a quick comment on this.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Before today, we're going to discuss the 2019 review of IFRS for SMEs.
Oh.